In today's show, Alexandra Billings with me again. We're talking about the kids, the youths, the young people today, the crazy language they speak, and also the brand new play that is getting hit rave reviews. The Tribune says it is perfect in many ways, showing us teens and young people today. Speech and Debate is the name of the play. PJ Paparelli, the artistic director of American Theater Company and the director of this play. So this is going to be a fun show. I'm younging it up, folks. I'm getting youthful because I'm so old.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 205. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Alexandra Billings.
How are you, lady?
I'm fine. I'm eating pineapple.
Pineapple. I like
pineapple.
I'm really in the singing mood. There was a B-52 song that was called Strobe Light that in high school, my boyfriend and I, Jerry, we used to listen to it, and the refrain was something like, I want to make love to you under the strobe light, you know, and it's Kate Pearson and her fabulous voice. And
love her.
But there was one moment where he's like, I can see your neck. I can see your belly button. I can see your pineapple. And then they'd all go, oh. Every time I hear pineapple, I think of the B-52s in that song. How strange is one's brain, or just my brain?
No, it's not strange at all. It makes perfect sense. I miss them.
They're back, you know.
I know they are. I miss them. I wish they would come to my house.
They are on tour. They might just do it. They're coming here to Chicago to the House of Blues, so.
Oh, they're coming to the House of Blues?
Oh, yes.
That's genius. Why is that?
Oh, gosh, you're asking me, and I don't know. You know what? I'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, do it.
Yeah. It may have already happened, but I don't think so. We were giving away some tickets for it at the Gay Idol, which I'm on a break this week from the Gay Idol. We are just a few more away to crowning our idol here June 13th, but I have the week
off. What happens when you win that thing?
Wow, a lot. You win $1,000 cash. You win a mountain bike, season tickets to Broadway in Chicago, a pair of American Airlines tickets anywhere in the U.S., the Bahamas, Bermuda, Canada, or Mexico, or the Caribbean. You can fly any of those places. And our winner this year will be flown to Toronto for a 3-night stay to sing at Halloween, which is their big Halloween street festival. So it's a ton.
Wow.
It's worth going out for it, let me tell you.
I didn't know all that.
You're too much of a professional to be the Windy City Gay Idol, but, you know, it's too bad. If you happen to be in town, we'll have you be there and
be a judge and give some feedback.
Oh, I'd like to do that.
That would be fun. So today's show is all, as I premised in the last show, is all about the kids. It's all about the youth. Because the kids. Kids today.
Kids today. What's the matter with kids today? I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's from Bye Bye Birdie, right?
Good girl.
Yay. But our show today, we have the artistic director and director from American Theater Company in Chicago. They are doing a Midwest premiere of a show that was a hit at the Roundabout Theater Underground off Broadway called Speech and Debate. And you're going to hear a lot about this show. And it's a show I'm really excited about because it asks all these questions that I really think are fascinating today of the way we have taken down boundaries and opened up communication in all these new forms, right? With blogging, which you do, Alex, and we're doing now on the podcast, with podcasting, you're listening to one, instant messaging, texting, that whole kind of virtual online world, and showing like how vast now the communication is, but also how limiting it is in terms of authenticity and who we are as people, and especially for young people who are using these modes of communication and language more and more and more. And that makes it sound like it's a really heady play, but it's really a very, very funny, bitter, caustic show about three misfit high school students who decide to reveal all of these school secrets from students and administration through having a speech and debate club and, you know, using the power of their knowledge and their words. And it's very funny. It has George Michael music playing in the background and a girl who creates a whole musical around the Crucible, but in the guise of Idina Menzel doing Wicked. And, you know,
that's
it's
great.
Out of this world funny. But do you think that that's true? I mean, do you think the younger section of the gay and lesbian community, let's start there. You know, what are the pros and cons, do you think, for them with this whole new virtual world?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I think...
They can meet other GLBT kids. That's a great thing, which I couldn't do when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's what I was going to say, was that I think it has its benefits and it has its trappings. You know, we have to allow technology to grow and expand. I mean, we have to. If we didn't, we wouldn't have phones. We wouldn't have cars. You know,
right.
So we can't. We have a lot of people sort of in the next generation. You know, the generation above you and I, Amy, that are appalled, you know, by the whole thing and why can't children learn to, you know, and I'm sort of like, well, listen, I mean, I think it's a little strange when I see an 11-year-old with a cell phone. I mean, that's a little odd, but, you know, it's her parents. What the hell do I know? I don't have kids.
Right.
But, you know, it's a whole, the world is changing, so you have to accept that. And what's fantastic, it's just like what you just said. What's fantastic about it is here you have, you know, the poor gay girl or gay boy or transgender girl or boy who lives in, you know, Idaho, who, and their only mode of communication is a computer, and the world is at their fingertips. So,
I mean, they,
you know, push a button, and all of a sudden they meet 5,000 people from their own community, and maybe they don't kill themselves. I don't know. I think it's kind of great.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's downsides to everything. There, you know, when the telephone was first installed in people's houses, they thought it was from the devil.
Right.
And there were a lot of very religious people that wouldn't go near it because they call it the devil box. You know, so, I mean, I think there's a lot of hysteria running around, you know, new fancy schmancy technology. But I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. And I think as long as you don't abuse it, here's the thing. All these kids that are doing all these terrible things like bullying over the internet and putting out hate websites. Did you know that this goes on? Because it does.
I do, and that's what I kind of wanted to talk about, because I think there are some limitations and some boundaries with this world, too.
Well, here's my solution. And again, I'm speaking directly out of my ass because I don't have children. But here's the thing. Where are the freaking parents? And I realize you can't, you know, watch your children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But here's a solution. Until you're 18 years old, the computer that you have goes in the living room. And so every time mom and dad or somebody of 21 years or older is in the house, that's the only time you're allowed to use the computer. And unfortunately, until you're 18 years old, you have to use it in front of everybody. That way, you can't do anything creepy.
But they all find ways.
What is the problem? Like, where are the freaking parents?
Well, but if you give them a phone nowadays, everybody's texting. You've got that as a tool or a weapon. And then now, you know, I have friends that are, I guess I would say, I don't know that they have to be younger. I have friends that really enjoy the technology of MySpace and Facebook and these social Friendster friend networking sites, okay? And yeah. I have had so many of these friends call me because they're upset, or, you know, we're hanging out, and one of them says, I'm so upset because my boyfriend had this on his site with so-and-so as his friend, and or, you know, the person I was seeing, their status still says they're single on their MySpace or their, and it creates, it seems like, so much chaos being able to, I don't know, not have anything. People seem to not want to have anything that's private anymore. And, no. And that's a concern, I guess, for me. Because I see it causing so many people so much pain. It's so hard for people to, I don't know, if people know you, maybe it's hard for them to detach from your fantasy world if you're using your MySpace or your Facebook as a fantasy world. And then I think it goes into the whole thing of people in relationships. Is it threatening? Are, you know, is this online world? I mean, if you have sex with somebody online, are you cheating? I mean, I think so. But
I think so, too. Absolutely. It's a virtual world. There's no such thing as, like, I'm having sex with this person online and then, bing, we're done, and that means nothing. That's crazy.
But
of course you're cheating.
But I think that there is a generation that is growing up thinking that that is a game. It is not the real world. It is my fantasy world. It is my online world. It can be whatever I want. I can tell
yeah,
you
think
things
right.
about
no,
myself
you've
that
got a
aren't.
Really good point.
I can be whatever I want. I mean, when somebody picked up a telephone back in when they were the devil box, it was still Joe or John or Sally's voice. You know, there's no illusion as to who was answering that phone. With this,
I don't know if that's true. Remember, like when we were kids, and you used to crank call people before there was callback. You know, saying before that happened, you know, you used to be able to crank call people. So, I mean, the same thing happened. When new technology comes out, everyone on the planet has to try every boundary, every avenue. You know, you've got to try the really, really good, fantastic extreme, and then you have to try the really, really awful, bad extreme. So, you know, this technology is really not that new. Think of how long people have had computers actually in their home. It really hasn't been that long. What, 20-something years, maybe?
Well, less than that. Probably a good decade to 14, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 years max.
Well, this is my point. So, I mean, you know, this stuff is brand new to all of us. All of us have brand new toys. So we're playing with them like children. I mean, I agree that the internet, I mean, you have predators on the internet. There's all kinds of things. But this is what I'm saying. If we're talking about the youth, then what I'm telling you is, you've got to have some kind. I don't mean you have to be a Nazi about it, but you've got to have some kind of parental control over these kids. You have to. Because the internet is a world. It's not just a community. It's a whole freaking world. So you've got to have, you as a parent, have to take some responsibility for your children.
Yeah.
don't you think?
I do. Well, you're going to hear about it in Speech and Debate, and if you live in the Chicago area, or I think it's still playing in New York, it's a play to check out. It's very provocative, but it's very funny. And we'll have all the information on the show notes, but we're going to tell you what's going on in the news, and also what's going on in the theater scene and much more. And then we'll be back with PJ Paparelli from American Theater Company talking to us about Speech and Debate.
Broadway's Tony-winning smash hit musical Avenue Q is for you.
If you've ever put out the garbage.
If you've ever put out.
If you're in the closet.
If your friend's in the closet.
If your coat's in the closet.
If you're in college.
If you wish you were back in college.
If you're a Democrat.
A Republican.
A Scientologist.
A gynecologist.
If you're a potty mouth.
If you're a potty animal.
If you want a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical with something for everyone.
Avenue Q is for you.
May 27th through June 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The ACLU has demanded that the Peace Corps change its policies regarding HIV-positive individuals. The Peace Corps has a policy that prohibits HIV-positive people from becoming volunteers. Recently, a Denver man was fired from his post after he tested positive in January. The volunteer had been working in Ukraine and was sent home. A letter was sent on behalf of the man stating that the policy is discriminatory.
Proponents of placing an amendment banning same-sex marriage in California say that they have collected over 1.1 million signatures, more than enough to get the measure on the ballot. The Limit on a Marriage initiative needs 694,354 valid signatures to place the measure on the November ballot for voters to decide. Such a specific number. The signatures, delivered by a coalition of conservative groups called Protect Marriage, need to be verified by the California Secretary of State's office.
Moscow Mayor Yuri Lushkov banned the city from allowing a pride parade to take place in May, citing violence from opposition as the reason. The mayor has a history of speaking out against homosexuality and recently said Russians are opposed to the gay lifestyle. Total air quotes there. A Moscow Pride parade was held last May and resulted in bloody violence.
Gays and lesbians read more blogs than heterosexuals. Over half of gay and lesbian adults surveyed said they read a blog, compared to just 36% of straight adults. The study also showed that they are more active within blog channels because they are more likely to leave comments and respond positively to online ads. Gay and lesbian adults are more active online in general. For instance, they are more likely to send instant messages, and gay men are more likely to be a member of a social networking or visiting dating matching matchup sites. No shocker there.
I'm a little shocked. Not. Okay. Brokeback Mountain director Ang Lee will direct a gay Woodstock movie. The film, Taking Woodstock, is about Elliot Tiber, the gay man who helped make Woodstock happen in 1969 by issuing the permit for the historic music festival. The movie is an adaptation of Tiber's 2007 memoir, Taking Woodstock, a true story of a riot, a concert, and a life.
Actress Lindsay Lohan is getting a bit possessive of her lesbian DJ friend Samantha Ronson. Last week, Lohan screamed at Ashley Olsen for saying hello to Ronson at New York City's Beatrice Inn, shouting, "Get your 15-year-old Full House ass away from my girlfriend." Ah, why don't I have that audio link? The gossip pages in the New York Post also revealed that Lohan supposedly created a Facebook profile that lists her name as Lindsay Ronson.
And thank you for making me think of her 15-year-old Full House ass. And that's The Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
An enchanting evening of music.
Just let the wild wing dove sing the song, sounds like she's singing.
The very best of Stevie Nicks, live in concert. Night with Stevie Nicks, Saturday, June 14th, Charter One Pavilion at Northerly Island. See the show filled with all the hits. Saturday, June 14th, live at Charter One Pavilion at Northerly Island. Get access to tickets first with your Citi credit card. Exclusive presale for Citi card members only begins April 30th at 10 a.m. through May 2nd at 10 p.m. Tickets for the general public on sale this Saturday, May 3rd at 10 a.m. at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, or LiveNation.com. Get Crystal Visions, the very best of Stevie Nicks CD DVD, in stores now.
Hello, everybody. This is Cherry Jones, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Hi, this is Valerie Smaldone, and I'm backstage at the Royal George Theater watching the multi-talented Mark Nadler and his new show, Russian on the Side, a zany 90-minute song and dance journey. It's a laugh-out-loud night at the theater. Don't miss the performer Rex Reed calls a combination of Danny Kaye and all the Marx Brothers put together. Russian on the Side, the pre-Broadway engagement, April 22nd through June 15th only at the Royal George Theater. Tickets available at all Ticketmaster outlets, online at Ticketmaster.com, or by phone at 312-902-1500. Call now!
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 29th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Newt Rockne All-American is a vibrant and inspiring world premiere musical celebrating the life of the man who created American college football. Playing now through May 11th. Tickets are going fast. Call now 219-836-3255 or visit theateratthecenter.com for this world premiere musical, Newt Rockne All-American. Only at Theater at the Center. Professional theater close to home.
American Theater Company presents Speech and Debate, the story of three high school misfits who team up to expose their teachers' online secrets by forming their school's first speech and debate club. This timely comedy is Ugly Betty meets Election, exploring queer life in high school and hypocrisy in public life. Playing now through May 18th. For tickets, visit atcweb.org.
Laughter is truly the best medicine when Julian moves in with his ex-wife and her new husband to recuperate from an illness in the world premiere of Better Late. This new comedy from the writer of MASH and creator of ABC's Dirty Sexy Money plays at North Light Theater through May 18th with an all-star cast including John Mahoney and Mike Nussbaum. To purchase tickets for Better Late, visit northlight.org.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents Around the World in 80 Days. This world premiere adventure follows Phileas Fogg as he races around the globe to save his fortune. Looking Glass Theater is in the historic Water Tower Waterworks on Michigan Avenue. For tickets to Around the World in 80 Days, visit lookingglasstheater.org or call 312-337-0665.
Hell in a Handbag Productions proudly presents the Chicago premiere of the camptacular Die, Mommy, Die, a tale of glamour, murder, and the importance of family by Charles Bush. Playing now at the Bailiwick Theater, 1229 West Belmont. Remember, 4 out of 5 drag queens prefer Hell in a Handbag for all their camp needs. So call the Bailiwick at 773-883-1090 for tickets, or go to handbagproductions.org for more.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
But look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Kids, I don't know what's wrong with these kids today. Kids, who can understand anything they say? Kids, they are disobedient, disrespectful oafs. Noisy, crazy, sloppy, lazy loafers. And while we're on the subject, kids, you can talk and talk till your face is blue. Kids, but they still do just what they want to do. Why can't they be like we were, perfect in every way? What's the matter with kids, too?
Pete DJ Paparelli is the new artistic director at American Theater Company in Chicago, and Speech and Debate marks his directorial debut with the company. It's a play about a group of teenagers brought together in a quest for fame and free speech. Speech and Debate has been called a triumph, hilarious, immensely entertaining by the New York Times, and Variety says it's bristling with vitality, wicked humor, terrific dialogue, and a direct pipeline into the zeitgeist of contemporary youth. Sounds like the Windy City Queercast. That's what I think. Hey, PJ, how are you?
Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm all into this pipeline into the zeitgeist of contemporary youth. That's what I try to do on every podcast.
Right.
I need somebody writing my script, though.
Right. You should ask Steven to write your script.
I should. Maybe I'll get him to write a show for me. So why did this play resonate so much with the audiences in New York, and why did you want to bring speech and debate to Chicago?
Well, I think, you know, Roundabout Theater opened a brand new space called Roundabout Underground, which was focused on new work. And Todd Haynes had asked, the artistic director Roundabout had asked Stephen, and when he read Speech and Debate, if, you know, if Stephen's play could, you know, premiere, and of course Stephen was thrilled. I think Todd's thinking was to really generate interest in a younger, you know, theater crowd, and a group of people who were really into, you know, a lot of the technology that's happening today mixed in with, you know, the theater world. And that's exactly what the play sort of deals with, is these teenagers sort of finding their identity and, you know, using various means of technology to sort of connect to other people and sort of the mishaps that they come into doing that. So I think it really, really exploded in the theater community, I mean, in New York. I mean, they extended it, I think, four times. And it was just the humor in the play is so authentic to today's youth. I mean, Stephen Karam, the writer, did an amazing job at capturing the voice of a younger generation and all the lingo and everything else. But again, it's intelligent enough and sophisticated enough that I think an adult audience, particularly Roundabout subscriber audience, which is, you know, relatively, you know, 45 to 70. Really, it struck a chord with them. It sort of allowed them to sort of enter into this foreign world to them and enjoy it. And I think because it's three teenagers trying to find out who they are, I think everybody can connect to that in their own way. And it's sort of this fun adventure into cyberspace and into, you know, this teenage world. So I think it was so accessible to everybody. And it's fun and it's fast and it's streamlined. It's like 90 minutes, no intermission. It's like a bullet. So, you know, a comedy that's 90 minutes long, you can't go wrong.
You can't. That's box office gold. Now, the script and kind of the narrative has been compared to like a movie, the movie Election, or the style and flair of the TV series Ugly Betty. But you mentioned already that there's this new language that's beyond just the quick, sharp-witted dialogue, this language of youth today, which, if they're listening to a podcast, that's one of the new languages, this world of online, of blogs, websites, text messages, podcasts. How is that language incorporated in the play?
Well, I'll speak to both audiences. The audience that is used to the feeling of throwing yourself out there online and, you know, looking for somebody online or connecting to somebody over IMs, and, you know, the idea that you can be anyone until you're discovered who you are. I think that world and the tensions and the excitement and the fantasy and the, you know, and the kind of anxiety and fearlessness, all of those things that are associated with that, is a part of the energy of this play. It's a part of kind of the core of this play. So those people who have gone through those experiences online, which is, you know, thousands and millions of people, can really relate to that. Those that haven't become very fascinated, I think, with what happens to people online. Mm. Like, you get to experience an I am in the play. A scene is just, you know, not spoken but projected. There's video blogs that are projected, and all these people are going to YouTube and experiencing what that is like when someone posts a rant on, you know, YouTube. That happens in the play, twice in the play. So I think it allows an audience who hasn't been inside that world or doesn't know how to get in that world to actually experience that. So I think it appeals to both both kinds of audiences. You don't have to be familiar with it to appreciate it and to understand it and to get excited about it and curious about it. So I think both of those aspects are at play.
What is the story without giving too much away? I know we follow three high school students.
Right, right. Oh boy. Well, it's a pretty quirky plot, but in a nutshell, there is a scandal going on at Salem, in Salem, Oregon. The mayor, who's been very anti-gay and a proponent for all kinds of anti-gay legislation and propaganda, has been caught IMing a boy on gay.com. He's 18, but he's, you know, nonetheless a boy, and it's strange when this man is, you know, one of those Republican conservatives.
Not strange, just obvious nowadays.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's strange in this particular town, but it's funny, when Stephen wrote the play, he based it on, you know, the incident of Jim Weston's Spokane, Washington, who did, you know, this happened. He was very anti-gay mayor and then ended up getting caught, you know, IMing somebody who was actually underage. So Stephen sort of used that as a template for the play. But since then, and this I think was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, since then, I mean, it isn't strange anymore. I mean, endless examples.
They're Foley dropping like flies. And,
yeah. And so actually Stephen rewrote the play in the last 2 years to, you know, bring all these examples into it, into the first scene. So that's sort of the background. That has happened in this town. And one teenager who's a journalist, who proclaims he's a journalist at 15, wants to write about this in the school paper. And, of course, the teacher says it's too controversial, and so he has to write about abortion. And she's like, no, you can't write about any of those topics. And, of course, he's, why can't we write about any of these things? All this stuff is happening, you know, right around us, the adults around us, and everyone's talking about it. Why can't we talk about it? So she says, I think you should take this energy and put it somewhere else. How about a speech and debate team? The school's trying to start speech and debate, and maybe that can be another outlet for you. And so that's one of the inciting incidents. The other thing that happens is another teenager is online IMing somebody and meets somebody who's 36 online. And he finds out that he recognizes the email address. It is a teacher in the school. It's, in fact, the drama teacher in the school. And so while online, this teenager finds another teenager, this girl, Dewada, who is doing this video blog ranting about how she wasn't cast in the drama production, and this has continually happened to her. She was gunning for Mary Warren in The Crucible and got basically an extra. And so she's... Now it's the big musical, Once Upon a Mattress, and she's auditioned and didn't get anything, and so she's very frustrated. So she's, you know, encouraging her friends to email the drama teacher saying, you know, this girl should play this part to big chance. So anyways, Howie, the teenager who has found the 36-year-old teacher online, communicates to her and says, wait a minute, that email address, I know who that is. I've got some dirt on him. So Solomon, our first journalist, also is online and discovers this and blackmails the two of them into talking to him. And then Dewada reverse blackmails and says, I'm going to tell the whole school about what's going on with Healy and you online and lets the two of you join the speech and debate team. So basically they both blackmail each other. Dewada wants to start the speech and debate team because it's her last attempt at any school-sanctioned performance before she auditions for NYU. So basically we get these students who are kind of forced because of these circumstances into joining the speech and debate club, and their big first presentation is going to be the place where they out all these secrets. And, of course, more secrets keep unfolding as the play goes on, and I don't want to give those away. But it's really, really funny. I mean, Dewada does a musical number based on she wrote a musical on The Crucible from Mary Warren's perspective. So it's called Crucible the Musical. And, of course, she plays Mary Warren. And, you know, Mary, it's from Mary Warren's perspective in that Mary was the one who held it in and lied. And that's why she was a noble character, because she was one of the only ones who survived.
It's kind of her Elphaba moment. Like, let's tell the Wizard of Oz through the story of the Wicked Witch.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, the funny thing about that is she's obsessed with Wicked. So Wicked makes its appearances, you know, throughout. So it's very, I mean, anybody who's a young teenager into drama today, or anybody who's, you know, just come out of college is going to go nuts. I mean, these characters are all the people they know. And
oh,
you know,
I remember Duwata from my own high school and college years,
oh my God.
Oh,
now
my
God.
Now that they have
everybody
a forum
does.
To create videos and all this online drama, it's quite funny because they didn't really have an outlet for it back when I was in school.
All this dirt online, and then, of course, it explodes into all kinds of, you know, complicated situations. But the play is just so funny. But on the other hand, it does really deal with this issue of adults intersecting with teenagers, and what does that mean, and, you know, how what does that mean for the, you know, this the next, you know, 50 years of how people interact on the internet. And it asks some big questions about that, but it doesn't proselytize, which is what's so beautiful about the piece. It just sort of lays the situations out there, and then you can sort of determine what you think coming out of it. So, and at the same time, it's just hysterical. And ultimately, the performance at the end is a striptease to George Michael's Freedom. And I won't tell you why they choose Freedom. It sort of comes up through the play. But the three teenagers decide they're going to break all the rules and, you know, do this as their group interpretation event. And it's truly the 11 o'clock number of all 11 o'clock numbers. So,
well,
it's a lot of fun.
It's so fascinating that your collaboration with Stephen, the playwright, you know, started also focusing on high schools in Columbinus. And mm-hmm. now you're taking a more... a more lighthearted look at disenfranchised students in school and the outlets and the resources they have to kind of make their path. But that play tells a very different story. What was that collaboration like for you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, going into Columbinus, a big part of that for Stephen and I and the whole writing team on that was kind of immersion into a world that was very foreign to us. I mean, at first we you know, thought, you know, we can relate. Everyone's gone through, you know, the identity crises when they're teenagers. But then we were sort of opened up to how much disconnection exists between teenagers and the adult world around them, and, you know, how much technology, specifically the internet, plays into the development of, you know, of youth. And so during the experience in Columbinus, we were exposed to all these familiar situations, and yet the way they, you know, dealt with the situation, the way they sought advice, and the way they, you know, sought their answers were all, you know, in a variety of ways that we never did, particularly the internet. You know, if you have a problem with something, you can, instead of asking someone, sort of connecting one-to-one, you know, human to human, you then go and get online and might, you know, find your answer there. And so we were very fascinated with that whole world and what that ultimately leads to, what kind of people, human beings, what kind of society comes out of that, you know, 10 or 20 years from now.
And we should say that Columbinus is about the Columbine shootings. I mean, it was a play created around that particular incident.
It was twofold. We went after the events at Columbine and researched them, very similar to, you know, the Laramie Project, going to Littleton and interviewing people. But then we also spent, a year and a half in different high schools, just
right.
interviewing and doing residencies, little workshops with teenagers in different parts of the country. So you get a sense of kind of a bigger scope than just Littleton. I mean, what we were trying to do was not say things like this only happen in places like Littleton, but they can happen anywhere. So being exposed to teenagers all across the country sort of opened our eyes to, although, you know, cultures are different in different parts of the country, the issues are the same, and the way teenagers were dealing with them in this generation different from us, but they're very similar. So coming out of all that, I think Stephen as a part of the writing team, very interested in continuing to explore, you know, teenage relationships, but like you said, in a much more comic way. And, you know, Columbinus has its humor, but it's a heavy piece. Well, this is much more about capturing, in a naturalistic way, in a lot of ways, the world that we were exposed to.
Yeah, and so much information, I'm sure, and some healing too, I think, from the previous experience. You moved here from Alaska to Chicago. Most people move from Alaska or from Chicago to someplace warmer. I don't know that you followed suit, but what have the big differences been for you from being an Alaskan gay man and being a Chicago gay man and an artist in both of those locations?
Well, you know, wearing sweaters is still cool. I wore sweaters in both places, and I felt, you know, I that was legitimate. I don't know. I clearly have this penchant for cold environments. So I certainly didn't plan it out, but I think, you know, the river, I've always kind of operated with the river kind of taking me where it needs to, and this opportunity came up in Chicago. You know, Alaska was incredible, a beautiful place, and the theater company there was very special, very, very special connection to its community. But being, you know, a gay man, a single gay man in Juneau is kind of, you know, it's kind of finding water in the desert. You know, they have a great lesbian community there, a fantastic lesbian community. But in terms of gay men, there are very few, and that was very hard. It was just very hard.
So it's not men in trees. There's no, like, there's no gay hairdresser that's kind of the local gay. Or do you watch Men in Trees? I mean, they obviously have this thing of, like, there's 20 million men and 2 women.
Well, I mean, there were, but I think...
In your town, there were a lot of lesbians. That's what you're saying to me.
There were. I had some great, 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 great friends there that were. But I think the thing about Juneau is that a lot of people moved up to Alaska in the 70s and late 60s, 70s, and early 80s for a lot of the opportunities that the state provided. And a lot of them were kind of the hippie type, granola type. And then their children, living in Juneau, the only thing they want to do is get the hell out. So, like,
right,
all of them, you know, there's this mass exodus right after high school. Very few people between the ages of 20 and, you know, 38 that live in Juneau that are educated and have, I'm not going to say there's none, but there's much fewer than you'd find in a cosmopolitan area. So I think more than just, you know, dating or anything like that, it was just the social networks that I had there was very different. It was very special, but it was different. So, you know, I was looking forward to get back to the city, and Chicago had been on my list for a long time, a place to work. But yeah, there are very few artistic director postings, because most of the artistic directors grew up out of their ensembles or out of, you know, a long history here in Chicago. So when this opportunity came up, it was really exciting.
Well, we are all excited to see your directorial debut here with American Theater Company. Not that you haven't directed many shows. It's just your debut with this company and as artistic director. So it's very exciting and a very fun show. As you've heard, it was highly praised in New York, and it's making its Chicago and Midwest premiere. So check out Speech and Debate, playing at the American Theater Company, 1909 West Byron in Chicago, now through May 25th. If you like tickets or information, you can call 773-409-4125. Or we are an online age, so you can just get your tickets easily and all your information at atcweb.org. And the phone number and the website will be linked in our show notes, so you don't even have to write anything down. Just go to the website and click on through and explore the world of Speech and Debate. PJ, thanks so much, and break a leg.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Pretty women, fascinating, sipping coffee.
Sweeney Todd kills London's unsuspecting upper crust. Mrs. Lovett bakes them in a pie crust. Together, they'll stop at nothing for revenge or for love. See this diabolical duo as never before in this hair-raising, fiendishly delightful new production of Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd, an event the Wall Street Journal says theatergoers will be talking about for years to come.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Judy Kaye and David Hess star in the Tony Award-winning Sweeney Todd, the show Rolling Stone calls the greatest musical of the 20th century.
What happened then? Well, that's the play, and he wouldn't want us to give it away.
Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd. Justice will be served.
Coming April 23rd through May 4th to the Cadillac Palace Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
And Alex, it's been great having you on the show today.
Oh, how exciting. Wasn't that fun?
It was so fun. And the next time that you'll be on, you'll be live from my living room.
Live from your living room in pasties and a G-string.
Ooh, I hope so.
No, I meant you're going to be in pasties and a G-string.
Ooh, I hope so.
Nice.
And maybe I could give you some structure for your and Honey's show.
Well, we need some structure for, yes. We need that not only in our show, but in our lives.
Maybe I could bring a little cymbal and give you some one-liners, and then I just do the ba-dum-ching. You've never tried that before.
I
like that, too.
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
It's nice.
We all need a little Foley sound going on as the music of our lives. I think it'd be funny
we all need a little rim shot.
A little, ooh, diggy diggy.
That's what it's called.
Is that what it's called?
It's called a rim shot.
All right. Well, on that note, now I know how to go out. I want to hear some Erykah Badu now.
Ooh.
Clicking it out with the rim shot, diggy diggy.
No, rim shot Badu.
We will see Alexander Billings when she's here in Chicago May 18th at 3160, but you can check her out on her blog at alexandrabillings.com. She blogs quite frequently. Even though I'm a novice, Alex is a pro at it. So check out her live journal there, and Alex, we'll have you on the show again next month.
I love you.
I want a rim shot. Hey, diggy diggy.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now. I